Baba, the Shiva Shakti. Bhagwan was once walking on the sandbanks of River Chitravati in the company of his devotees. He was smiling enchantingly and moving gracefully. That attracted a cameraman who readied himself to take a photograph. When he requested, "Swami, just one picture please," Swami tried to put him off. "No, Bangaru, no." But the photographer did click his camera. When in due course the film was developed and printed, the photograph showed Swami as Ardhanarishvara, the divine dual form of Lord Shiva, one half as Shiva and the other half as his consort Devi Parvati. Around 1945, when Dasara processions were taken out from the old temple in Puttaparthi, Swami used to be dressed up as Ardhanarishvara. Among those who witnessed an exalted form were his ardent devotees, Kumaramma and Sakamma, who used to recall the splendid vision quite often. During the Treta Yuga, lived a great rishi called Maharishi Bharadwaja. He loved Vedic learning and devoted 100 years of his life to it. Even so, he could not complete his studies. Realizing that there could be no end to his studies, he set about doing tapas in the name of Devendra, the lord of the devatas. Devendra finally appeared before the Maharishi and told him, "You will never be able to attain full understanding of the Vedas. Give up this fruitless pursuit. Instead, perform the Savitra Yaga, which will bestow on you the spiritual fulfillment you hope to obtain through Vedic studies." Maharishi Bharadwaja also received the necessary procedural instructions from Devendra. The Maharishi very much desired that Goddess Shakti should be personally present at the Yajna. He went to Kailasam for inviting her in person. He found Lord Shiva and Goddess Parvati dancing together and totally engrossed in it. The Rishi could not find a convenient moment to make his request to Goddess Shakti. 7 days passed as he waited and waited. He was having darshan of only Lord Shiva, not of Shakti. He felt disappointed and miserable. On the 8th day, however, Shakti gave him just a sideward glance, smiled softly, then turned quickly away and resumed her dance. Sage Bharadwaja mistook that Devi Shakti had deliberately slighted him. He immediately left Kailasam and headed home. While coming down the hill on his way back, suddenly his left leg and hand went out of control, as if they were dead. His speech was gone. One eye went blind. Apparently, he had a stroke of paralysis. Lord Shiva came to his rescue. He drew near and consoled him with kind words. "Don't worry, Rishi. Devi Shakti has truly blessed you as well as your yaga." With these reassuring words, the Lord sprinkled some water from his kamandal on the disconcerted sage. Immediately the Rishi regained his faculties. Both Lord Shiva and Goddess Shakti promised that they would together attend his yaga and bade him farewell. Bharadwaja successfully completed his yaga in due course. Both Lord Shiva and Devi Shakti attended it and blessed him. As a token of their pleasure, Lord Shiva promised the Rishi, "Both of us will incarnate in human form in your gotram, vamsam, no less than 3 times. In the first incarnation, I will be Sai Baba in Shirdi. In the second, both of us together will incarnate in Puttaparthi as Satya Sai Baba. Finally, Devi Shakti will incarnate as Prema Sai." He went on to say, "O Rishi, when you came to Kailasam, Devi Shakti ignored you for 8 days. In atonement thereof, when both of us take human form in your dynasty, Devi Shakti too will suffer in the same way as you had suffered in Kailasam. When that happens, I will sprinkle holy water on Shakti and make her regain the faculties in the same way as I restored yours in Kailasam. On 29th June 1963, Bhagwan Sai Baba suffered a stroke due to thrombosis and the left side of his body was paralyzed. Hundreds of devotees who had assembled in Prashanti Nilayam were agonized on seeing the suffering of the master. During that week, Swami was in coma for 3 days. He survived 4 heart attacks. Disconsolate devotees could do nothing but shed tears in utter helplessness. After a full week, on Guru Purnima day, 6th July, Bhagwan was very carefully brought down from his upper floor apartment to the bhajan hall on the ground floor in the arms of Sri Kasturi, Sri Raja Reddy and Sri Krishnappa. It was obviously difficult to seat Baba as usual in his throne on the elevated dais. So, the silver throne was brought down and placed on the ground close to the dais. Soft cushions were positioned so as to avoid discomfort to Baba, and he was slowly eased into it. Baba's left hand was stiff. The left leg was equally out of control. His eyes too were unclear. On finding their beloved Lord in that terrible state of suffering, the devotees began to wail loudly. Then Swami whispered to Sri Kasturi in barely intelligible words, "This illness is not mine. On my own volition, I have taken over this illness on myself. No disease can ever assail me. Let nobody worry. I cannot bear if my devotees suffer." Sri Kasturi used the microphone to announce Baba's words to the gathering. Swami gestured for water to drink. When a tumbler of water was held to his lips, he could not hold it properly and the fingers of his right hand slipped into the water. With those fingers, he sprinkled a little water on the limp left hand and the left leg. He gently stroked his left hand with his right hand, and in a few moments stroked his left leg with both his hands. The astonished assembly of devotees, now delirious with joy and ecstasy, realized that Swami had cured himself. They heard him addressing them in the microphone. "Prema Swarupullara, O embodiments of love." He began delivering his customary address on the auspicious day of Guru Purnima. Swami spoke for an hour, regaling the audience with his characteristic eloquence, lucidity and exquisite humor. He related the 8-day suffering of Rishi Bharadwaja, at the end of which Lord Shiva made him whole by sprinkling holy water on his paralyzed limbs. Swami recalled the Lord's promise that he and his consort would incarnate on the earth as Shiva Shakti. That Shakti, represented by the left side of the body, would suffer for 8 days, at the end of which Lord Shiva, the right side of the body, would restore her to health by sprinkling holy water. In ringing tones, Swami declared, "I am Shiva Shakti, born in the gotram of Rishi Bharadwaja, by virtue of the boon conferred on him by Lord Shiva and Goddess Shakti in the Treta Yuga." Life story of Lord Shirdi Sai. People knew only the latter part of Sri Shirdi Sai Baba's life, that is, subsequent to his arrival in Shirdi. No details were available regarding his earlier life. When was he born and where? Who were his parents? What was his life like prior to his appearance in Shirdi? These remained unknown until Sri Sathya Sai Baba revealed them in Prashanti Nilayam on 28th September 1990, the date and month coinciding with the birthday of Shirdi Sai Baba, as declared by Baba. Obviously, little-known secrets of an incarnation can be brought to light by none else but another incarnation. The life story of Shirdi Sai, as disclosed by Sri Sathya Sai Baba, is given here. In the village of Patri, situated in the then Nizam's dominions, lived a devout couple named Ganga Bhava and Devagiri Amma. The The lady was an ardent devotee of goddess Gauri, consort of Lord Shiva, also known as Parvati. Her husband was a devotee of Lord Shiva. They had no children, which made them all the more detached from worldly concerns. They spent all their time in worship of Lord Shiva and Devi Parvati. Ganga Baba plied a river boat for a living. It was rainy season and the river was in flood. Fearing that his boat might be swept away if unattended, Ganga Baba told his wife that he would go to the banks of the river and stay that night with his boat and take care of it. She gave him his evening meal at 7 p.m. and finished her own meal soon after he left. At about 9 p.m., there was a knock on the front door. Thinking that it was her husband and wondering what made him come back so soon, she anxiously opened the door. An old man was standing outside. He promptly stepped in and said, "Oh lady, it is very cold outside. Will you kindly give me a little space inside for spending the night here?" Hospitable by nature, she produced a mattress, gave it to him, and showed him a place in the veranda to sleep in. She retired to her own room, closed its door, and went to bed. But not long after, the old man knocked on the door again. When she opened it, he said, "Oh kind lady, I am feeling hungry. May I have a little rice to eat?" Finding nothing worthwhile in her kitchen except some milled grain, she prepared a little meal with curds and gave it to him. She went back to her room, closed the door, and prepared to sleep. In a little while, the old man once again knocked on the door. When she opened it, he said, "Dear lady, my feet are aching. Will you kindly massage them a little?" She was startled. She went into her puja room, fell at the feet of Goddess Parvati in tears and cried, "Oh Divine Mother, what is this terrible test you are putting me to? What should I do now? Kindly save me from this humiliating situation." In a few moments, she regained her composure. An idea flashed in her mind. Leaving by the rear door of the house, she went in search of somebody who could be of service to her guest on payment. Her efforts bore no fruit and she returned home in despair. Suddenly, there was a knock on the rear door. When it was opened, a woman stepped in and said, "Madam, it seems you came to my house asking for help to attend on an old man here. I have come to offer my services." Devagiri Amma rejoiced that her earnest prayers had been answered. She took the woman into the veranda, left her with the old man, and went back to her own room, closing its door behind her. That old man, who asked for such strange service from a saintly lady, and the woman who came forward to serve him, were no ordinary humans. They were Lord Shiva and Goddess Parvati. They began talking with each other. Lord Shiva said, "Devi Parvati, grant this devout lady whatever she earnestly desires." Goddess Parvati replied, "You are the Supreme Lord. You do it yourself." Lord Shiva answered, "I have come here to test her devotion. But you have come here in response to her earnest prayers. It would be appropriate if you granted boons to her." Once again, there was a knock on the bedroom door. Now that there was another woman in the house, Devagiri Amma unhesitatingly opened the door. She found Lord Shiva and her beloved Devi Gauri standing in front of her in resplendent glory. Her heart was full with happiness and joy. Unable to bear the flood of emotion, she dropped at their divine feet. Spoke Goddess Gauri, "I am blessing you with a boy who would bring glory to your vamsam, and also a girl so that you may derive punyam by giving her away in marriage, kanyadan, to someone." Devagiri Amma touched Lord Shiva's feet. He said, "My dear child, I am pleased with your devotion. I myself will take birth in human form as your third child. The ecstatic lady, so amply blessed, with eyes brimming, did deep obeisance to Lord Shiva and Goddess Gauri. When she lifted her head, they had disappeared. She was now in raptures. She was now eager and impatient. When will the day dawn? When will her husband return home? How soon could she share her heavenly experience with him? She could sleep no more. At daybreak, her husband came home and heard from his wife what all had happened. But he was in no mood to believe. He said, "Dear Devagiri, you seem to have lost all your senses. You must be dreaming. Lord Shiva and Devi Parvati visiting our house in person? Giving you darshan? What nonsense!" He took to ridicule. She tried to convince him, but he refused to be convinced. Time sped fast and Devagiri Amma became pregnant. As she anticipated, a male baby took birth. A year later, a baby girl was born. Ganga Bhava found that two of the events which his wife had mentioned had now come true. He was now willing to believe that Lord Shiva and Goddess Parvati had indeed given darshan to his wife. He told his wife, "You were most fortunate, I was not." The thought got firmly rooted in his mind. It grew with time. He was determined to secure darshan of Lord Shiva and Devi Parvati. Presently, his wife was again pregnant, the third time. This final piece of proof strengthened his mind decisively. Maya, illusion, gave way to enlightenment. Now he became restless. When should I get away from this house? When should I commence tapas? How soon would I be able to obtain darshan of Lord Shiva and Devi Gauri? These thoughts were gnawing at his heart. He undertook vows of austerity. Meanwhile, 9 months passed. He became more and more impatient. He could wait no longer. He decided that he would immediately retire to the forests to continue his spiritual pursuit vigorously. Devagiri Amma was not the person to draw back. She too accompanied him, despite her delicate condition. On the way, she delivered a male baby right there, on the way in the forest, beneath a banyan tree. That was 28th September 1838. Devagiri Amma swaddled the newborn infant comfortably in a piece of her sari, covered him with soft leaves, and left him where he was born, and followed her husband. That is how nobody knew anything about the parents of that baby until Bhagavan Sri Sathya Sai Baba revealed it all over a century later. There was a Sufi fakir in the neighboring village. He had no sons. He found this abandoned baby and took him home. From 1838 to 1842, the child grew up in that fakir's house. After the fakir passed away, his wife looked after the boy. His behavior was quite abnormal. He would go to Hindu temples and shout, "I am Allah, I am God," and "Allah Malik hai," God is the master. Hindus used to trouble him. He would go into masjids and cry, "Rama alone is God and Shiva is Allah." Because of his odd and unconventional behavior, people of both faiths used to complain to the late fakir's wife. She found it difficult to set him right. She knew a person, Binkusa by name, who was a scholar and a devout person reputed to be an exalted soul. She took the unruly boy to Binkusa and left him in the great man's care. From 1842 to 1851, for 9 long years, he was looked after by Binkusa, who treated him with great affection and love. That aroused jealousy and malice in the hearts of the other residents in Vinkusa's ashram. One day, the boy left that place and reached Shirdi, where he stayed for a couple of months. Thereafter he left Shirdi too and wandered from place to place for several years. In the course of his travels, he arrived at a village named Dubkheda. During his stay there, it so happened that a marriage was fixed in the household of a resident of the village named Chandbhai Patel, whose wife's younger brother was the bridegroom. Accompanying the bridegroom's party, the peripatetic boy went to Shirdi. It was the year 1857, and he remained there for good till his passing away in 1918. He became known as Sai Baba. His extraordinary spiritual powers were soon noticed. People began flocking to him. He received them with kindness and compassion, patiently heard their problems and sufferings with sympathy and love, and gave appropriate directions to enable them to overcome their difficulties. He would give them mental strength and confidence and spiritual guidance. Gradually, his fame spread far and wide. The above account was given by Bhagwan Sri Satya Sai Baba. He also described the close relationship between Shirdi Sai Baba and his devotees such as Hari Vinayak, Sathe, Kelkar, Shama and others. Sri Satya Sai Baba said, towards the end of Shirdi Sai's earthly life, he told Abdullah, who was close to him, not to grieve at his passing away, because he was going to be reborn and give him darshan again. When Abdullah inquired how soon that would be, Baba replied that it would be just 8 years later. The first incarnation took place in Maharashtra, and the second one would be in Madras Presidency. Madras Presidency at that time included Puttaparthi, which is in the present state of Andhra Pradesh. Abdullah further asked Shirdi Baba in what form he would appear in the coming incarnation. Shirdi Baba replied that he would bear the name of Satyam. Evidently, what he was referring to is this present incarnation of Sri Satya Sai. The two bodies are no doubt different, but their divinity is one and the same, said Swami. Bhagavan concluded the absorbing story of his previous incarnation by explaining, the purpose of the first incarnation of Shirdi Sai was to give intimations of divinity. The second, the present one of Satya Sai, is for gifting of divinity. And the third, the coming one of Prema Sai, will be for teaching divinity. Shirdi Sai's promise. In the previous chapter, we briefly read about Srimati Gali Sarada Devi, an ardent devotee of Shirdi Sai Baba. Married at an early age, she begot 6 male children, but not even one survived beyond the 6th year of age. Immensely distressed, she went to Shirdi and begged Sai Baba to grant spiritual peace to her. He received her with sympathy, offered her solace, and facilitated her spiritual progress. She often begged him to initiate her into some potent mantra in order to help her in spiritual advancement. He was putting her off somehow or the other, appearing on occasions to be angry too. Sometime in 1918, a little before Shirdi Sai merged in the infinite, she held his feet firmly, pleading once again for mantra upadesh. Apparently vexed with her insistence, Shirdi Sai Baba turned on her in anger and kicked her in the chest. Deeply hurt, she left him, denied herself food, and slept that night in the open ground under a tree opposite Dwaraka Mai. Late in the night, the compassionate Baba approached her and gently pacified her with soothing words. My dear child Gauri, I will tell you something. Let us go to the Lendi garden. How can I sleep soundly when you are in distress and are starved? On reaching the garden, he stretched his hand up and uttering, Allah Malik hai, materialized a couple of puris and a bit of khoya to go with them. When she tried to go and fetch drinking water, he stopped her and materialized a tiny pot of water in the same manner as he had produced the food a little earlier. After she ate and felt relaxed, he spoke in a pleasing tone. "Look, my child Gauri, I will tell you something, but before that you should hold my feet and promise me not to tell this to anyone." After she did so, he continued, "I will be reborn in Andhra region with this same name of Sai Baba. You will then come to me, enjoy my close company and attain happiness. You are now well past the need for any mantra. After you see me in my second avatar, you may tell this to others when occasion arises." Sharada Devi considered herself most fortunate and felt that her life was blessed. Soon after this incident, on the Dashara day, 15th October 1918, Sri Shirdi Sai shed his mortal coil at 2:30 p.m. and attained Mahasamadhi. More than 20 years sped by. Sharada Devi was now running an orphanage. She was traveling from place to place giving Harikatha performances to raise funds. During her travels, she happened to go to Uruvakonda. She had heard a lot about a miracle boy called Satyam. She went to see him in the house of Sri Seshamma Raju, the boy's elder brother, where the boy was then staying. Satyam noticed her and invited her to sit close to him. When he addressed her in a pleasing tone, "Gauri," she was startled, as that was the same sweet and affectionate way Shirdi Sai alone and nobody else used to address her. Added Satyam, "You owe me 16 rupees. Do you remember?" She was confused, particularly because she was seeing him for the first time. He went on, "You collected 40 rupees for sending to Shirdi, but you sent only 24 rupees through Balram. Then, don't you owe me 16 rupees still?" To reassure her, he said, "I have reminded you about this merely to prove to you that I am Shirdi Baba. As you came in, you did not bother to offer me even namaskar, but just sat down as soon as you entered." Poor Sharada Devi was now in tears. She fell on his feet and pressed them to her bosom, just as she was habituated to do at Shirdi. Satyam calmed her and said, "I had told you then, but you did not pay heed to my word. You forgot it altogether, but have now reached me. I am proceeding to Puttaparthi. Follow me, and I will let you know everything there." Later, at the instant of Sri Satya Sai, she took up permanent residence in Prashanti Nilayam. As mentioned earlier, Baba gave her the name Pedda Bottu. She'd lived in Baba's proximity in Prashanti Nilayam till the end of her life. Shirdi Baba would often display great anger, but Satya Sai Baba is always a picture of sweetness and pleasantness. Swami once explained the nature of this attitudinal difference. When the mother is busy cooking in the kitchen, she gets irritated and angry if her children distract her by making even a little disturbance. But when she later serves the cooked food to them, she is full of affection, love and patience. The former avatar at Shirdi was the stage of preparing tasty dishes. Now, it is the stage of serving those dishes to you with love. Bodies are two, but divinity is one. Om Sri Sai, Shirdi Sai Abheda Shaktyavataraya Namaha. As a child, Madhav Dikshit had seen Shirdi Sai Baba, but spent the last phase of his life with Bhagwan Satya Sai at Vrindavan in Whitefield near Bangalore. As a boy, he suffered from unbearable pain due to migraine. Hari Sitaram Dikshit, the elder brother of the boy's father, took him to Shirdi Baba. This Hari Sitaram Dikshit was generally known as Kaka Sahib Dikshit. Baba rubbed some ashes taken from his duni, fireplace, on the forehead of the boy Madhav and brusquely ordered him to go away. The boy was taken aback at what he felt was a slap on his face and curt dismissal. He made up his mind never again to go to Baba. But his uncle Hari Sitaram Dikshit assured him that what he mistook as a slap was on the other hand Baba's blessing. Besides, what Baba ordered out so curtly to go away was not the boy, but his migraine. He added, "Every one of us here has been waiting and waiting for some such sign of Baba's grace. If only he would give a similar slap to anybody, he would feel immensely blessed." Ever since this incident, the vexatious migraine never appeared again. Several years later, having heard that Shirdi Baba had taken reincarnation as Sathya Sai Baba, Madhav Dikshit went to Puttaparthi along with some of his friends. It was 23rd October 1961, Vijayadashmi Day. Speaking on that occasion, Swami said, "This divine power left the previous body in the year 1918. At that time, I told devotees that I would come back again after 8 years. While putting down on paper what I had stated, Kaka Sahib Dikshit recorded in his diary that I promised to come back as an 8-year-old boy. This mistake occurred because Kaka Sahib Dikshit did not make his noting immediately on hearing me, but took quite a while to do so, that too after a long time, and then relied solely on his memory." Madhav Dikshit happened to be at Puttaparthi for the Shivaratri festivities. A doubt rose in his mind. What is this? Shirdi Baba was an unassuming personality wearing simple clothes. Could he have taken on rebirth the form of the dandy I see now before me? Here he seems to be dressed up more like a cine actor. All the while he was watching Bhagwan on the dais, bathing Shirdi Sai's image with unending streams of vibhuti pouring out of a small vessel held above the head of the image. He watched also the miracle of Shivalingams emerging out of Bhagwan's mouth. There followed a discourse from Bhagwan in the course of which he said, "Some persons present here are thinking that it is quite odd that I should wear silk clothes like a cine actor, and that I sport a peculiar type of hairdo." Dikshit was startled. He had no doubt that Baba was surely referring to his own doubts and felt disturbed. Bhagwan summoned Madhav Dikshit into the interview room. There was a photograph of his late uncle, Kaka Sahib Dikshit, in his pocket. Swami saw the picture and said, "This is your uncle, Hari Sitaram Dikshit. He was my devotee when I was in Shirdi. Do you still have any doubts in your mind?" All doubts in Madhav Dikshit's mind vanished. But a single ardent wish remained unfulfilled. He had very much desired to serve as the doorkeeper of Shirdi Baba's room. Bhagwan knew it. He fulfilled his desire by assigning the same job to him in Vrindavan. Swami also said to him, "Your time has come to go to heaven, but Swami has decided to increase your life by 8 years because you stayed with Shirdi Baba for 8 years. Dikshit lived in a house right in front of the gate of Vrindavan. He died 8 years later. The 2nd of October 1996 was a red letter day. Devotees worshipped 1008 pairs of padukas, replicas of Baba's sandals. On that day, in the grand venue of Sai Kulwant Hall. Dr. D.J. Khadia spoke on that occasion. When Baba spoke later, he referred to Dr. Khadia and said, "He is the son of Madhav Dikshit and grandson of Kaka Saheb Dikshit, who had lived in Shirdi. This Dr. Khadia did not see Kaka Saheb, but I saw him. His father Madhav Dikshit brought and showed to me the diaries kept by Kaka Saheb Dikshit. He had recorded therein that whatever difficulties one might face in life, one should never give up Swami. This doctor's father, Madhav Dikshit, stayed in Vrindavan for 30 years. It was I who encouraged this Khadia to study medicine and sent him to Manipal. Subsequently, I pressed him to go to London. Thus, the association of this person with Sai Baba comes down from his forefathers' times, long, long ago. This is what applies to everyone here. Otherwise, there is no possibility at all of your coming here ever. You have entered into this path only by virtue of the cumulative stock of good fortune and punyam acquired over several previous lives. There are crores of people in India. How many of them are able to come here? Many people do have the desire to come, yet they are unable to fulfill their desire. It is a matter of divine blessing that you have been able to come to this holy place," Swami said. Baba is all pervasive. Tidemann Johansen, a Norwegian from Oslo, happened to come to Puttaparthi. Swami materialized a ring and presented it to him to ward off the problems he was beset with. A few years later, while traveling in Bangladesh, he lost that ring in a river near Chittagong. A month after the loss, when Tideman arrived in Whitefield, Bhagwan came near him and placed the lost ring in his hand. Swami told the astounded Tideman, "This ring came into my hands because I am there in that river. Not only in that river, I am present in every river, everywhere. Swami is all pervasive, omnipresent." Once Shirdi Sai was sitting in Dwaraka Mai. A lady devotee from Kanpur came in, saluted him and sat down. Baba asked her whether the birthday celebrations of her son had gone on well. She told him, "Baba, we spent that day happily. We invited all our relatives and feasted them. Prior to that, we arranged all the eatables in a silver plate as offerings to you and left the plate in the puja room. A little later, we wanted to serve that prasadam to the guests, but we found that the plate had disappeared. Only my husband and I, and none else had entered the puja room. How could it disappear? We all felt unhappy at losing it. Baba, what had happened?" Sai Baba replied, "Do you remember that as you placed the plate before me in the puja room, you prayed to me to come personally on the happy occasion of your boy's birthday and partake of the naivedyam. As you had desired, I came there and ate them all. Not being sure whether you would believe it, I brought away the silver plate with me. Here it is." He pushed his hand behind the pillow on which he was leaning, drew out the plate and gave it to her. She was immensely surprised and delighted. Abdullah was regularly cleaning that place in Dwaraka Mai thoroughly. He would rearrange the cushions and bed sheets daily as a part of his chores. Abdullah did not turn up on that particular day, and someone else did the job. No one, however, found earlier any plate there. How did it suddenly make its appearance now? We can understand what Bhagwan means when he says he is omnipresent. I know, you don't. Satya Sai Baba was then touring Kerala. At the request of his devotees, he visited a village near Trivandrum, now known as Thiruvananthapuram in Kerala. In his entourage was Dr. S. Bhagavantam, the celebrated scientist. Devotees far and near attended the meeting held there. Swami pointed out to Dr. Bhagavantam, who was by his side, an old lady standing in a corner of the huge gathering. He mentioned that he had known her ever since her childhood. Dr. Bhagavantam wondered in his mind, Baba is much younger. That woman is evidently much older. How could it be that her childhood is known to Swami? He asked Swami, Baba, you are but 30 years old. That old woman must be in her 70s. How is it possible that you know her ever since she was a child? Baba promptly clarified that he had known her in his previous incarnation. A little later, Dr. Bhagavantam went around among the people gathered. He quietly approached the old woman, engaged her in a conversation and inquired, Did you ever visit Shirdi? She replied, When I was a little child, my uncle, the younger brother of my father, took me to Shirdi for Baba's darshan. Baba gave me a pendant that I still wear around my neck. Here it is. She showed it to Dr. Bhagavantam, whose doubts were cleared. When we hear of this incident, we are reminded of a verse in the Bhagavad Gita at the beginning of chapter 4. Here, Lord Sri Krishna told Arjuna, I taught this immortal yoga long ago to Vivaswan, the sun god. He conveyed it to Manu, who imparted it to his son, Ikshvaku. Now, again, I have imparted this ancient yoga to you. Arjuna queried, O Krishna, the sun god is there ever since creation. He dates back to remote antiquity. You belong to the present age. How is it possible that you had taught this to the sun god so long ago? Lord Krishna explained, Bahuni me vyatitani janmani thava cha Arjuna thani aham veda sarvani natvam veta parantapa. Hey Arjuna, you and I have passed through numerous births. I possess the awareness of all those births, but you do not.